Thank you, Fred Lynn, and good morning to everyone. The top of the morning to you. I hope you're all well and happy. You know a little squib I read, I'm always reading something I want to give to you. It says, we have too much fear in this world and not enough courage. There are too many people playing the flute and not enough people blowing the trumpets. Too many miseraries and not enough hallelujahs. Well, I guess that's the truth. I read the cutest thing yesterday. It's a sort of a appropriate to us who fuss around about our churches. And, you know, we do. People do and get themselves in the papers. And about our church being the best and ours being the only one that'll save you. And which, of course, is not true at all. Church membership alone saves nobody. And this little remark from a magazine said, some people demand a church with more perfection than you could have in one on a desert island and run it to suit yourself. If you built one in the Pacific Ocean, there would be nothing wrong with it until you enrolled in it. I thought that was witty. A bit sarcastic, but sometimes it takes raw sarcasm to shake us out of a lot of things. Well, I'm sure I'm far from perfection. And while I love my church and I prefer it, it's also, my church is short of perfection, of course, like all other human organizations. Church is an earthly organization with a divine intent. I could belong to any church and worship God and believe in the great plan of salvation and the Holy Scriptures and go right on as happy as a duck in a puddle. We all have our preferences, of course, and we take our preference. But we should be so that we could be a true Christian in any of the churches, either Protestant or Catholic. If we believe in a real resurrection and a real afterlife as it is stated in the Bible, plain as day, then we're going to have millions of all sorts of Christians of all churches and beliefs in our heaven, wherever it is. Well, what are we going to do with them? We've got to be with them up there. So why do we split hairs and strain at a gnat and pick out some small point of contention and just jump over the dock about that one thing? A lot of churches, they ride a hobby, you know. You will find that most all churches have their hobby that they ride and take it wholly for almost their soul's salvation. Jesus said, other sheep have I which are not of this fold. And I've never forgotten that utterance. And I think he intended it to apply to all sheep, even black sheep like you and me. And that reminds me of my favorite hymn of all time, the ever beautiful 99. I think I'm going to bring the guitar out here sometime and sing that, whether you want me or not. Well, the sermon's over, and I pronounce a benediction. I guess I ought to rent me a hall and blow off my steam instead of inflicting it on you, my dear listeners. I want to say happy birthday to my friend Miss Lily Jones of Springfield, who's 73 today. You know, she's Uncle Zeke's mother, who used to be Uncle Zeke on our radio, and he was a dandy. Happy birthday to you, Lily. I'm just so glad that you're coming along fine, and I hope you have many, many more. I just read a little piece in a fine little magazine. You know, there is or was a great Chinese writer, Lin Yutang. In his book titled The Importance of Living, he gave a list of happy moments. And it was just sort of cute, thought I'd read it. He said, for his first happy moment is lying in bed on a cold day. And then getting out of a pair of tight shoes was another one. And getting into a big tub of water after 12 hours of driving dusty roads. Embracing children after a long absence, especially if they're your own. But any children. Unexpectedly in a lonesome moment meeting an equally lonesome friend. Receiving a handwritten letter expressing affection. Getting rid of an itch by scratching. Attacking a fine juicy steak with a powerful appetite. Arriving in New York after a month's stay in Europe. So that was it. I take it that he didn't like Europe. After all, I don't believe we ever like any place as much as we do home. As for me, my only time leaving my native land was when I went to Haiti, the island of Haiti. Leaving the harbor in New York on the big boat, the Poseidon, a big Dutch liner, and they say the Hollanders make the finest and safest boats in the world. And they surely are the finest officers. Wonderful men they were. When I came back, it was on the Ganymedes, another big Holland boat. They named their line of boats all Greek names. I don't know why. The captain was wonderful to me all the way because I was alone, and he was just a real big, great, kind Dutch Hollander. But what I want to say is, as we were approaching New York, the first thing we saw, we're all watching, you know, about 50 miles away, that stuck its head way up over the water, wasn't a head. It looked like sticking out of the great water was a hand, a woman's hand. It was the strangest looking thing you ever saw. And then came up a torch in it. And there was the great famous Statue of Liberty, just the hand and the torch for a long while. That one, you know, that stands in New York Harbor. The first thing you ever see, and you see it a long, long while before you ever see anything else. That old gal looked better to me than any gal I'd ever seen in my life. I was up on the high deck because the captain had told me to come up. He was going to let me hold the big wheel and run the ship into harbor. Or that is, near to harbor. Of course, I didn't do the real landing. I couldn't believe it. But he gave me the wheel, and he stood right by me, and he would say, "Now right, now left, now quiet, now take it easy." And I was just scared to death, but happy. And it was like running an automobile steering wheel, but of course I don't run an automobile. But I know and will remember to my dying day what my native land looked like as it began to rise up out of the water miles and miles away, and that grand old Statue of Liberty. The very first thing you see is that great huge hand. What is that lovely thing engraved on the statue? I wish I could quote it. "Bring to me your poor, your downtrodden," and so on. Wish I could quote it. I'm sure all of you must feel renewed after Memorial Day, going to your little home cemeteries and meeting so many of your hometown people and your loved ones and decorating the graves of your dead. I do. A little poem comes to me. You know, this poem is one I wrote myself. I don't often inflict my own poetry on you, but some years after my mother died, and I have just been to her grave, of course, and it comes to me. My mother was such a lover of poetry. You could hear her at work and repeating poetry so beautifully, even more than she sang sometimes. And she loved the great masters, but she loved the little heart poems, like "The Little Toy Soldier is Covered with Dust, but Sturdy and Staunch He Stands," by Eugene Field, the great Missourian, you know. And she loved I remember the house where I was born, the little window where the sun came peeping in at morn. It never came a wink too soon or brought too long a day, but often now I wish the night had borne my life away. And of all her favorites was the beautiful "Rock Me to Sleep." Oh, mother, come back from the echoless shore to rock me to sleep, mother mine, once more. Oh, it's such a beautiful thing. You ought to get it and hunt it up and read it over. So one day I wrote this little poem when I felt that it was such a changed world, and maybe we really did wrong to wish our beloved ones back. Oh, what a world, what a disturbed and upset world. So here's a little poem I wrote. I'll say it to you. Oh, come not back from the echoless shore to rock me to sleep, mother mine, once more. The roads of this world would stain your feet. Oh, mother mine, in your safe retreat, stay there and wait for me. The world is a different place, you know, and restless people come and go. They fashion a laugh, they smother a tear. Oh, mother, you would not like it here. Stay there and wait for me. You knew the friendly days of yore, a neighbor's hand and an open door. Wherever you are, one thing is true. It must be more like the world you knew. Stay, mother, and wait for me. The years are long since you rocked me to sleep, but I would not bring you back to weep. I shall find you, mother, wherever you go. You couldn't be lost to me, you know. Stay, mother, and wait for me. Excuse me, I feel like I want to cry. Speaking of difference of opinions, which I referred to a while ago, here's a little story that carries a real point, sent to me by our good friend Carl at Deepwater, Missouri. He sends me so many good books and magazines and things, you know, I'm so grateful for them. A group of religious leaders were talking one time about various things, and the Bible translations came up. One said he liked the King James Version. Well, good for him. So do I. And one liked the Revised Version. And then they spoke of Moffat's Version and different versions, you know. And the elderly pastor among them, he said, "Well, sir, you know, I like my mother's translation best of all." And they said, "Why, I never heard of it. Did your mother translate the Bible? What kind of a translation was it?" The preacher said, "She didn't write it. She lived it." You know, I thought that was the most remarkable story. His mother translated it by living it. I wish we could all do that. Mrs. May Morris of Seymour wants me to announce about their annual June singing, which will be Sunday, June the 2nd at Cedar Gap Church. It's the old Christian harmony singing, which has been held over 60 years in this region. This Ozark region down in here, you know. You know, it gets its name from singing out of the old Christian harmony shape note books over 100 years old. Every time I write that note shape book, shape notes to somebody in some magazine or something I write to or a paper away from here, they put it sharp notes. They don't seem to know what shape notes are. They're notes you sing them by the shape, not by the line and staff. Everyone is invited to this great singing. Basket dinner at the noon hour. This is the singing that dear Mr. Brazil, who died recently, always attended. And he was such a fine leader and singer for so many, many years, the old Christian harmony songs. Cedar Gap. Now, when is that? June the 2nd, yes. Cedar Gap. It comes right away. Basket dinner at the noon hour. Guess you have to take a basket. Should. I wish I could go, but I'm in my hometown Sunday. I'll come back in the afternoon. I want to go to another old shaped note singing. Indeed, I do. I hope I get to go this summer and hear Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I want to hear the long sought home and Oh Come Angel Band. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they have about three or four. They have 100,000 people, I think, in Kentucky and Tennessee still singing these shape note songs, great singings. Time marches on. Here's a little word to close. Never say, "Oh, I'm all beat up." Never say, Never say, "Oh, I'm all beat up." Never say, "I guess I'm done." Say, "I'll show you all tomorrow." Say, "The fight has just begun." Never say, "My work has got me." Never say, "I've lost my stride." Say, "I'm not so much to look at, but I've got the stuff inside." That's the stuff, isn't it? Goodbye. Now remember to drive safely when you're coming home Sunday. And here's a motto. Do you want to remember that? You can drink all you want to and still drive safely. Oh, no, that isn't it. It says, you can drink like a fish and still drive safely. That is, if you drink what a fish drinks. Goodbye, and I'll be seeing you next Saturday, Lord willing, the creek won't rise.